Morning. A missionary told me this story. He said, I remember exactly where I was sitting. I had the preacher to the right of me. I had the deacon sitting across from the table. I had come in to teach about what missionary stuff I was doing. I was telling them about my missions work in New Orleans and about how God had opened a door for us in parts of the world where Christianity is received rather hostilely. And I continued to tell them of all the different things we've done, helping people who are homeless, who are struggling with addictions. And I paused to kind of get their reflections about what they had thought. And there was this kind of awkward silence. And then one of the deacons finally leaned forward and said, what you're doing is good, but I would just assume that God would annihilate these people and send them to hell. And it was kind of an awkward pause again. And I wish I knew what I should have said, what question I could have asked then. Do we really want God to annihilate the people who are right now not Christians instead of go to them? After a moment of silence, the room resumed its normal conversation and things went on. And you think, oh my, that wasn't the end of it. It got worse. The next morning, they went to church services, and he was supposed to give a lesson. The preacher got up to introduce him, and for some reason decided he wanted to give a patriotic speech about how great it was to live in America and how he would never be willing to go overseas because of how great a place it was here. And through all this, he kind of thought, I'm waiting for some song by Lee Greenwood to come about, and I had to go look up who Lee Greenwood was. But within a few minutes after this speech, the missionary got up and told about how God commanded everyone to go to all nations and to show this is what we are doing. And whenever he had gotten done with that, he finished, he got down, the preacher got up to conclude the services, and he said these words, brother, we're so excited about all that God is doing with you in New Orleans and throughout the rest of the world and all nations. And we are excited that you are there serving. And he continued, and we promise that we will continue to send you a check so that we don't have to go there ourselves. And he wasn't finished there. He said, I remember a time in my last congregation when a missionary came in from Japan and to speak. And I told my church that if we didn't give him plenty of money, that I was going to pray that God would send their children over to Japan to be a missionary with him. And you just think, wow, did he just threaten them with going to all nations? He continued, and my church gave that man a laptop and a whole bunch of money. Apparently the threat worked. The services were dismissed. The missionary climbed into his car with his wife as he drove home, and he could hardly believe what had been said. A range of emotions consumed him: anger, sadness, disappointment, confusion. But as he began to process those events that happened in the last 24 hours, he was struck by a frightening realization. That kind of brings us to our problem. Number one, could it be that this deacon and this preacher are saying what a lot of us here in America feel but are not willing to state? That may sound a bit harsh, but the reality is, how many of us embrace the comforts of America without giving a second thought to the inner city needing the gospel? How many of us have settled in the United States without ever considering that seriously, that God may want us to go overseas to be a missionary, at least for a time? How often are we willing to cut a check so that we don't have to go ourselves to do God's work? How many of us parents are praying that our children will go over to be missionaries overseas? And how many of us are devoting our lives to taking the gospel to people who are hostile to the gospel or who reject the gospel? How many of us are willing to go where the gospel has not been preached? Certainly, a few of us may be as bold as to say, I would just assume that God annihilate them and send them to hell. But if we don't, if we're not willing to go to them, isn't that where we're condemning them to go anyway? If we're not willing to go and tell them about Jesus? Meanwhile, Jesus commands us to go. He has created each of us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I want to lay down before you that the thought that anything less than going with this radical devotion that Jesus commanded us is unbiblical Christianity. Christianity that we make in our image versus in God's. That leads us to number two, the command. Our reading today was known as the Great Commission. Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations. And when he says disciples, he's speaking to the 12 disciples. So he couldn't be saying, go and find yourself. He's saying, go and find students. Kind of the root of the term disciple is a learner of. Go and create learners of me. Go and find people who will study who I am. And if that's not enough, he says, teach them specifically. You are supposed to teach them to observe and do all that I have commanded you. As my Bible professor oftentimes said whenever he come to this text, and he always made a point of bringing in this text, make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, and on and on and on. So that when you become a Christian, a follower of Jesus, the command is in fact handed to you. It's not reserved for the professionals to go and proclaim Jesus. It's for everyone. All Christians are supposed to go in their own way, in their own abilities, their own skills, go and tell people about Jesus. But there's a requirement that you do go. So we get to our point number three, and this is going to be where the remainder of our lesson is going to be, is the do, the doing. Consider the many who die without Jesus. 6 billion people in this world, how many of them know Jesus? If they don't know Christ because we're unwilling to go, where does that put them? Where are they going? Another question to ask is, where does that put us in God's plan? God says to go and we say, no, I don't want to do that. Where does that put us? People who live in a world where Christians shirk back from self-denying faith and instead commit to self-indulging faith, what are we doing to other people who don't know Jesus? While Christians choose to spend their lives fulfilling the American dream instead of giving their life to proclaim the kingdom of God, what are we leaving our world to? Literally, billions in need of the gospel remain in the dark, never hearing their entire life about Jesus. The price of non-discipleship is high for those who don't know Christ. Consider the cost when Christians gather in churches and choose to spend billions of dollars on nice buildings to drive up to, cushioned chairs to sit in, while not spending more than a couple thousand dollars for missionary work, less than 10% oftentimes. On the poor and the non-Christians of the world, to reach them, we spend less than 10% of the contribution. Consider the cost of the starving multitudes who sit outside the gate of Christian influence because we don't go to them. There was a newspaper article in 2004 that had two articles side by side. I don't know if the editor did this on purpose or it just happened because God wanted it to. But the first article on the left said, church builds or celebrates new $23 million building. And it had a lengthy article following about the exquisiteness of the building, the nice walls, the wonderful stained glass windows. And it was all in very vivid detail. On the right was a much smaller article, and the headline was, Relief Helps Sudanese Refugees. The article describes how 350,000 people, men, women, and children, in Sudan are dying from malnutrition, and they may not live to the end of the year. It briefly explained the plight of their suffering, what they would have to deal with. The last sentence said that the church had sent money to the church, and we think, oh, great, we're doing something. We're helping people, until you get to the amount. Now, remember, on the left was church celebrates $23 million building. And on the right, church raises $5,000 to send to refugees in Sudan. $5,000. That's barely enough to get a plane into Sudan, let alone get a drop of water to anyone who needs it. $23 million for an elaborate building, $5,000 for people who are starving to death, most of whom will die apart from faith in Christ. Where have we gone wrong? How did we get to the place where we actually tolerate this, that we're spending more on buildings than on people? The cost of non-discipleship is great. The cost of believers not following, taking Jesus seriously, is vast for those who don't know Christ. It's devastating for them. Those who are starving and suffering around the world, we don't focus too much on them. But the cost of non-discipleship isn't just paid by them, it's paid by us. What is God going to say whenever he says, you spent all this money on things instead of people? I wonder if we have in some ways intentionally, in other ways unintentionally, erected lines of defense against God's global purpose. What I mean by that is, it's not uncommon to hear Christians say, well, not everyone is called to foreign missions. More specifically, I am not called to foreign missions, right? When we say this, we're usually referring to foreign missions as an optional program of the church that only a few faithful are called to. Those who are good at it will send them. In this mindset, missions is a compartmentalized part program of the church, as you can do this if you want, but you don't have to, as opposed to what Jesus talks about as the command to go. And select people are good at this and passionate about it. Meanwhile, the rest of us are willing to just watch the missionary slideshow whenever they come into town, pay a little bit of extra money to help them out, and then go home to life as normal. But in the end, God has not just called most of us to missions thing. He's called all of us who follow. But where in the Bible do we ever get identified as missions is an optional thing? We don't have it. Jesus himself is not merely calling us to go to all nations, he's commanded us to. We have taken this command, though, and we've reduced it to a calling. Those who feel called to go to missions, we help them go to missions, something only a few people receive. I find it interesting how we kind of use the things that Jesus has said. We take Jesus' command in chapter 28 of Matthew and say, where it says, make disciples of all nations, we say, that means some people. But we look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where it says, and this is actually a command, I didn't know that till now, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And we say, now that's for me. We take what Jesus promised in Acts 1, verse 8, that the Spirit will lead us to the ends of the earth. And we say, that's for some people. But we take Jesus' promise in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he would give them abundant life, and we say, that's for me. In the process, we have unbiblically picked and chose what verses we will listen to and what ones we won't. Assigning the obligation of Christianity to a few who are willing to go, and keeping the privileges for all of us. In this way, we choose to send off other people to carry out the global purpose of Christianity, while the rest of us sit back and just say, we're just not called to that. Now, we know that each of us has different gifts, different skills, different abilities, and God has tailored creating us with these abilities and these skills and these things that we have in life so that we can reach out in the way that he has given us the ability to. We have different ways of doing it, but we do need to do it, each and every one of us. Maybe we're not able to speak a whole lot of public speaking, but we can influence people with our lives that we do, the people we come in contact with. Undoubtedly, this was the case for the disciples. Peter and Paul had different callings. James and John, even though they were brothers, had different callings. However, each follower of Christ in the New Testament, regardless of his or her calling, was intended to take and proclaim the gospel to whoever they could, to the ends of the earth. And that's the reason why he gave each of them his Spirit. And why he gave them the same plan, make disciples of all nations. Isn't it the same today that we should be doing this? Are we going to take the words of Christ and say, those don't apply to me, and label them as, this is for a few people who are called? Or are we going to ask the question, how can I lead my life, my family, and my job for God's glory in my town, the people that I come in contact with? Where am I willing to go and tell people about God? Romans chapter 1, verse 14, Paul talks about he is indebted to the nations, really. He says, I am indebted to Greeks and barbarians, and it kind of goes around to every person, really. He is indebted to them. Paul's saying he owes a debt to every lost person on the face of the planet to tell them about Christ. And I think that every one of us owes that same debt. Paul says, now that I am owned by Christ in other parts of the book, that I owe this to Christ. He is my master, and I have to do this. And it's kind of the same for us because of the same thing. He says he owes Christ to the world, and I think that every one of us who is a slave to Christ owes the world, owes that same debt that Paul talks about here. Every same saved person on this side of heaven owes Christ, the gospel, to every lost person who is doomed to hell. We owe Christ to the world. We are indebted to the nations because our master tells us we are. But in our approach to missions, we have kind of subtly removed ourselves from the equation, from out from under the weight of those who are lost and dying in the world. We've kind of removed our feeling of we owe it to them. We kind of wring our hands in pious concern and say, I'm sorry, I'm just not called to that. The results are pretty tragic. A majority of individuals saved from eternity or saved for eternity by the gospel, now we think we can sit back and say and make excuses as to why we're not sharing the gospel with the rest of the world. But what if anything less than passionate pursuit of what God has called us to actually frustrates the very purpose that God created us for? When we talk about global missions, when we talk about going to all the nations, how many of us are looking at our shoes thinking, I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. God created you to do that. We need to see that. We often overthink it. God, I have never been eloquent of speech, right? Send someone else. And if you know the Bible, you know we're talking about Moses, who said, God sends someone else whenever God was telling him to go and bring Israel out. God said, that's not an excuse. He told Moses, you can't do that. And I think that if God were to talk to us right now, he'd say, you can't use that as an excuse. You're not able to. I created you for this purpose. Maybe the most common response that arises among Christians regarding the global missions of God is, what about the needs here? Why do we need to be involved with other nations when there's so much need here in America? Among Christians, I often hear this statement phrased like that, I don't need to go to all nations because God has given me a heart for the United States. Or maybe God has given me a heart for Lebanon. Others, the statement sounds spiritual, but we need to examine when we do that, what are we doing with it? We say, I have a heart for Lebanon. I have a heart for the United States. Look at where you're going. You kind of see this ends up being more of a smokescreen than it is a real belief. It's a smokescreen because most of us really are not concerned about the needs right here, or we don't do much about them, at least. Most Christians rarely share the gospel. Most Christians' schedules are not heavily aimed at feeding the hungry, helping the sick, or helping the neediest places of the gospel in our country here. But even if we were doing these things, we still are only looking at 5% of the world's population. And we're proud of it. As we have seen over and over in Scripture, God's heart is for the whole world, not just 5% of it. We confess that we have, whenever we say, I have a heart for this city only, we confess we have less than 1% of the care for God's people. Certainly there's a great need here. But who told us that we had to choose either the United States or all nations? Isn't it a United States and all nations? Based on the purpose of God in Scripture, shouldn't every Christian's heart ultimately be consumed with how can we make God known to the people that I come in contact with, the people that I know, the people that I run into? It's over 6 billion people and counting. According to the most liberal estimates, approximately one-third of the world is Christian. Now, likely not all of them are true followers of Christ. They more claim it. But even if we assume they are, that still leaves us 4.5 billion people who don't know Christ. who, if the gospel is true at this moment, are separated from God in sin, and assuming nothing changes, they will spend eternity in hell. Again, 4.5 billion people. Do we care about them? And most of them live outside the United States. God has given us His grace to extend His glory to all nations, not either here or there, but a here and there. In all the mission talk, you may be thinking, well, certainly you're not suggesting that we all move over to foreign overseas, and I'm not suggesting that, though I'm not completely ruling that out. But this is precisely the problem. We've created the idea that if you have a heart for the world and you're passionate about global missions, then you have to move overseas. But if you have a heart for the United States, you're not passionate about global missions, then you have to stay here and support those who go. Meanwhile, kind of flying right in the face of this is Scripture's claim that regardless of where we live, here or there, we need to go. We need to go to people who don't know Christ. We need to be willing to say, I want to tell people about Christ. Our hearts should be consumed with making the glory of God known to all nations. So, does every Christian need to move overseas? I'm not convinced that everyone does. But I think that we need to not allow that to be a cushion to say, well, I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to step any out of my comfort zone to tell people about Jesus. Because from cover to cover, the Bible teaches that all the church, not just select individuals, need to be telling people about Jesus. We need to be telling about God's glory, really. We are intended to impact nations for Christ. We need to be willing to do a little bit of work at least and grow from there. And there is a God-designed way for us to live, to be the church, for the sake of the people around the world who don't know Christ. So what is this designed God way to live? As we continue to look at the words of Christ, I hope that we start to see and ask, how does my life fit into what God has commanded me to do? What does my life need to be different so that I can do what He wants me to do? But every single one of us comes in contact with the mission. We come in contact with people who don't know Christ, and God wants us to tell about Him to those people. We need to find out a way to do that. People who are not Christian are the people we need to seek and find. And it's not something you got to go up to them and say, you need to believe in Christ. It starts with a relationship. You get to know them. You get to know who they are. And then you ask them, what are your thoughts about Jesus? Or, you want to read the Bible with me? We need to take these steps. We need to be willing to take these steps because our Savior has told us we need to. You don't have to come up with some clever scheme. God will cause their hearts to be open to your words. If not, then you have successfully planted a seed. Come back later or have someone else come back later when the seed has had time to grow. That's what God wants us to do, to plant seeds. He will cause the growth, but we need to be willing to go and do that. We need to be willing to say, follow Jesus. Listen to what He says. He says, immerse yourself in who I am. Learn who I am. Baptize yourself in the waters to wash away your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you place yourself under God. For those of us who are Christians who this week we've been struggling, we say, God, I've not been serious about this, but I want to. We can pray for you. We can encourage you. We can help to lift you up. If anyone has those needs, you have that opportunity to tell me during this next song as we stand and as we sing.